This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 30 of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. I'm going to be joined by Norman Quarantine here in a second. We're going to be talking all about the fallout from WWE Crown Jewel, Monday Night Raw, a little bit of news coming out of AEW Dynamite when it comes to Saraya, formerly Paige in WWE. She has been cleared medically. She will wrestle at Full Gear for AEW. We're just going to free-for-all this show. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about the different things that happened this week in the world of professional wrestling. So stay tuned. Don't forget, if you want to download, subscribe, share this on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. All of that would be super helpful for us as we grow the show and this channel. So thank you very much. Enjoy episode 30 of the Sportster Show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. On the other end of the computer is Norman Quarantine. Norman, how are you?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Good. You know how they always say on the other end of the other side of the glass when they're talking about radio and they're like, oh, on the other side of the glass is my producer, blah, 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 or my partner, whatever. I was about to say that. And I'm like, well, there's a glass here. It's just a computer. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even sure what you're on. If you're on like a phone or an iPad or whatever. I'm like, computer's probably safe enough. But
yeah, I'm on my computer. Yeah. And I don't think there's any glass in my screen. It's one of those fancy, you know, well, I don't know if actually I think glass is back in with screens now, the OLED screens. So yeah.
I don't know. I'm not much of a gamer, to be totally honest with you. And I'm assuming that if you are, or you're like a digital photographer working on some sort of art, you would need a really fancy screen. But yeah. I'm pretty big bare bones when it comes to this stuff. You know, one day maybe we'll be able to do this show from the same location. Like, I know that you're
maybe
somewhere. I mean, that'd be fun, right? Like, you'd be able to actually do this at an event or at a conference or even a pub, you know, something like that. Yeah. Would be a lot of fun. That'll be a bucket list item for us to do one day.
Well, WrestleMania's in LA next year, so you know, you never know.
Yeah. You're gonna go. Are you trying? You know, because tickets went on sale already, didn't they?
Yeah, so I haven't got tickets or anything, and I haven't really I haven't made any plans to go. I imagine that I will go, but yeah, I haven't bought tickets yet or anything like that. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, we're gonna talk a little bit about that, like the first part of this conversation, like the first part of this episode. We're just gonna free for all this thing. Normally, we have a plan. We kind of go in with a structure, and we go, okay, well, this is what we're gonna talk about. We're kind of not really doing that today. Like, we have some stuff we want to talk about because it's been a little bit since we've done an episode, and some stuff happened. You know, Crown Jewel, Raw, Dynamite, things like that. So we'll talk about all that. But we're just gonna spitball here. We're gonna spend the next half an hour or so just chatting. So we haven't really done that on the show before. So I figured, you know what, might as well do it today. But let's start to keep some sort of function and organization and structure to all of this. Let's kind of go in order of some of the events here. So Crown Jewel was the big one. The last time we did a show, that was the pay-per-view we were talking about. That was the one we were making predictions for and hoping it was going to be good. I thought it was great. I thought it was really good, actually. Typically, the Saudi shows don't have a ton of eventful stuff come out of them. Like, usually titles don't change. There's not a lot going on that you can go, oh man, that was really, there was a lot happening. There was some good wrestling action. There were title changes. There was, you know, a couple surprises. I thought it was good. What did you make of Crown Jewel? Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was solid. You know, I will say if I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't, you know, getting paid to watch those Saudi events, I probably wouldn't watch them just for, you know, just for moral reasons, really. But yeah, I think just on its own merit, if you just assess it as an in-ring wrestling show, I thought it was decent. Yeah, there was some good in-ring action and actually some you know, canonical narrative things occurred, which you know, I think for sure when they started doing these Saudi shows, I think the you know, the consensus was that they were going to be glorified televised house shows where nothing that happened actually mattered, and I don't think that has really been the case, maybe at first, but I think yeah, I think it was, you know, pretty certainly propelled some storylines forward, so that was good.
Well, I mean, it seems like Lashley turned heel at the show. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but he certainly was not the crowd favorite when it came to the Brock Lesnar match, which he basically kicked Lesnar's ass for most of it, didn't win. Lesnar fell on top of him. One of those old school, oh, my shoulders were down while you had a hold on me type finishes. I'm not sure how much I love that finish, but Lashley was like super over with a lot of people up until that show. And then all of a sudden he was really kind of getting heavily booed. And I don't know if they took that show and said, well, we might as well work with this, or if they were already planning on turning him heel, but he was a heel on Raw on Monday too, or at least that's how he acted. And we're going to talk a little bit about Seth Rollins and what we believe might be a babyface turn. But were you surprised to see Lashley kind of getting booed and that they're going this direction with him? Because it looks like they're going to make him the bad guy.
Yeah, they keep sort of flip-flopping him, right? It looks like he's getting some momentum and then they kind of sweep the rug out from underneath him. With this case, a Crown Jewel, I think it was just him, you know, majority of it was the fact that he was in the ring. They were in a different country. They were in a country that gets, you know, one wrestling show a year. And before that, they never had any wrestling, well, very few wrestling shows. He was in the ring with Brock Lesnar, who's, you know, always going to get, he's such a spectacle. He's such a veteran. He's such a WWE legend. He's always going to be the fan favorite, you know, going in a match in an overseas territory. So I don't think really they did it, Lashley any favors in that regard. Yeah. And then, like you said, it seems like maybe they just were like, okay, well, I guess, you know, guess he's back to being a heel now. So yeah.
It's a little surprising for me considering how over he was. Like he just organically got over, you know, like it wasn't like a forced, you know how we see all these guys get pushed to the moon, but Lashley got pushed for sure, but he wasn't cheered because they told us to cheer him. He just was cheered. Like people really liked him and they got into what he was doing and his dominance and his strength and his athletic. They just really liked him. So I thought, oh, interesting that they've decided that they're going to switch gears here. Maybe they just feel like they need a bigger heel on the show, or they need somebody who can be a legitimate heel for some, I don't know why they did it, but a little surprising to me. And maybe he's not a heel. I don't know. There's been no official announcement like that they ever do that, but it's like, there's no storyline necessarily that shows me that they have said, yes, Bobby Lashley is a heel now, because they put him in the ring with Seth Rollins, who we don't know if he's kind of a heel or babyface. Mustafa Ali kind of acts like a little bit of a heel when he talks, and he beat the tar out of him on Monday. There's no like definitive, yes, this is the line, and Lashley has crossed it. He is now a heel. Like you said, he just went in the ring with Lesnar and people chose to cheer Lesnar instead. So I don't really know. We'll see where this goes. Damage Control wins the women's tag team titles. I am not at all shocked by this. I don't know if I said it on the last show. I think I might've, where I was like, I don't believe that this is going to be anything long for Alexa Bliss and Asuka. Not at all shocked here that these guys or these ladies get these titles back.
Nah, not at all. It was pretty obvious which way that was going.
Well, Dakota Kai basically spelled it out during the press conference and said the nameplates on these titles haven't even changed, you know.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
That's a very good point. Like, yeah. They haven't, and that probably tells us these ladies are going to get these titles back. Nikki Cross being involved in the match didn't make any sense to me really at the time, but now that they've gone this War Games route and they're going to have her on the same team with Damage Control, it makes a little bit more sense to me. They still didn't explain why she's working with them. But I guess
right.
Which is crazy if that's the idea here. Nikki Cross is just nuts. You don't have to explain that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a strange finisher for me. Who do you think is going to be on the War Games team? So we've got Damage Control with Nikki Cross. They need one more person. And then we've got Alexa Bliss and Asuka and Bianca Belair. They need two more people.
So it's 5-on-5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so man, I no clue, absolutely no clue.
Are we all gonna be? Are we all feeling like we're gonna be lifted by this whole? Oh, it's gonna be Sasha Banks and Naomi, and then all let down when it's like, not that I have anything against Candice LeRae, but when it's like Candice LeRae joining the team, like I like Candice LeRae a lot. Right. I think she has a spot on one of these War Games teams, and she's got experience in these War Games matches. But like everybody's been building themselves up to be like, oh my God, Sasha Naomi. Like, there's a pretty good chance it's not one of those two people or either of them.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what everybody's going to be expecting? And that's probably not what they're going to get, or it might be those two.
Yeah. And they need to do what they can. If it isn't them, then WWE needs to do what they can to nip that in the bud so people don't get their hopes up and then get very let down when it isn't them. So they need to sort of maybe announce those teams as soon as possible. I don't know. Regarding who's on which team, I'm not sure. I can't see. It's obviously going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge. I just hope it makes sense. And, you know, we have people on, you know, I'm old school. Hope it's, you know, heels versus good guys versus bad guys, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I do like the Survivor Series format where they had the bad guys, the 5 on a team, good guys, 5 on a team. I didn't really even care how the teams were made up. It just was like, I liked that. I liked every match being 5-on-5 and maybe one match being something else. But yeah, I do like the old traditional. I watched Survivor Series 1989 last night. It was on the WWE Network. I just love the old school stuff. That's way more fun for me. We'll fly through some of these other matches. Karrion Kross loses to Drew McIntyre. What we heard, Drew McIntyre was really sick, like flu symptoms during this thing, but showed up anyway and beat Kross out of the cage. The only question I'll ask you is, was this Kross's match that he needed? Because we've talked many, many times about Karrion Kross not having yet that belt kind of sets him apart. Did this one do it or no?
Nah, I don't think so, man. I think he's still... I'm still waiting for it personally. And then again, there's a couple of things, you know, I can see why they are into him, and I can see like there is definitely like elements and building blocks there that I can see why Triple H and whoever would kind of like him. There's a few things that I would tweak. I think the entrance, the sort of lip syncing thing, I think it's a little hokey. It comes across as it's just a little bit corny to me. I like him being with Scarlett. I think that makes a lot of sense. I just think that the entrance is a little, I don't know, just a little cheesy.
It's funny how everybody loved it in NXT, but they're not super in love with it now. Maybe you didn't love it in NXT either, but that was one of the big selling points for him was that entrance.
Yeah, I didn't really like it in NXT. I thought the lip syncing thing was just a little bit silly. But yeah, I mean, regarding his in-ring work, I still don't think he's had that match, and I think he needs to have it soon. Otherwise, there's going to be some... Like, I think it doesn't get talked about enough how important it actually is to have good matches to be able to get over. If you keep having, you know, bang average or worse than average matches, then you're going to struggle to actually maintain that spot that they want you to be in. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he needs to have a match that people are chanting during, you know what I mean? They need that for him. We'll talk a little bit more about the OC and Judgment Day match when we talk a little bit about Raw, because to me, the ending of this match and the focus on Rhea Ripley's involvement spoke volumes to me that something was coming. There was another woman coming, and we learned on Raw who that was. So I would say inconclusive in terms of the match. Yes, Judgment Day did win there, but it was mostly about Rhea Ripley at that show. And we'll find out why the following Monday. Strowman and Omos, I think we, I don't know if we made a prediction on this one. I assumed that Triple H would go with Strowman here. He did, although Strowman got worked pretty good. He did not have much offense during this thing till the very end when he gets the power slam and the pin and then just sort of a quick whatever. Right decision. And in connection to the question of, is this the right decision, following the pay-per-view and Strowman's immediate foot in my mouth moment on social media, which he tends to do a lot, he makes a crack at High Flyers because he's so proud of his match with Omos at Crown Jewel that he's like alienated a whole section of wrestling fans.
Right.
I don't know why he does this. I just can't figure out why the guy just doesn't shut up. He just doesn't do himself any. And then he doubles down by saying, oh, it was a joke. And then he's on a trampoline doing flippies into a foam pad, like just silly stuff. So one, did you like the match? And two, is this a problem that Strowman keeps doing this or is not?
Kinda, I thought the match was fine. I thought it was decent for what it was. You know, Omos is very inexperienced. It was, you know, a match between two big dudes. So there's only so, you know, and I thought it was perfectly decent. And you look, he's, you know, he's got a point. Not every match does have to be flippy and all that. And he's maybe sounding a little bit bitter that the guys that do all the flippy stuff get better reactions than he does. I don't know. I think he should just shut up.
Well, you know,
because
what?
He's alien. Go on.
It's not that he's wrong. I don't think that at all. I think he's right. In fact, I watch a lot of them, and I've said this on the show many times. I watch a lot of those spot fest high flippy match. I hate them. Like they're not enjoyable to me because they're so unbelievable. It's too hard to suspend your disbelief when you just watch a guy stand outside the ring for 30 seconds waiting for the dude to land on him. Like I hate that stuff. That said, the way that Strowman tweets this stuff out, like it's not that he's, you know, go ahead and talk up your big man match. You were right. It was a decent match. And say that not every match has to be a high flying spot fest, whatever. Feel free to say, but why do you got to add the whole go back and bag your groceries at Kroger's? You know, like, why do you got to put that in?
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just absolutely unnecessary. And this comes from a guy who was, yes, he worked real hard to be a strong man, but he was kind of given a spot here in WWE because of that strong man background. He didn't really pay a ton of dues when it came to.
Right.
You know, having to work his way through indie shows and work in front of no one and all that stuff. I mean, he's been, he's a big dude and he's an attraction, but like he's been given a lot and he's made a lot of money quickly at a young age without having to go through all the pains a lot of these wrestlers have to go through. You just think you'd know better than to say and make fun of a whole working class society of fan, many of whom beg groceries. There's nothing wrong with begging groceries. Like, why did you need to put that in there? Like, it just makes no sense. That's what he does. He sticks his foot in his mouth doing stupid things like that. And then people learn to go, this is not a likable dude. Like, he just has this sense of entitlement or something.
Yeah, and it's not the first time he's done it. He's espoused, you know, sort of vaguely classist and insulting, offensive rhetoric on social media before. It's just unnecessary. It's not really, like, you know, it sometimes is in conflict with the character they're trying to portray him as on screen. And I think he overestimates his own value as well, because look, WWE didn't have him. He wasn't on WWE TV for what, a year? They released him. Did they miss him? I don't think they missed him that much. I think him being there is, you know, I think he's an attraction and he sells some tickets and kids like to see, you know, big guys in the ring and stuff. But you know, let's be real, he wasn't like, you know, selling out stadiums, was he? I just think he needs to chill out on that a little bit, for sure.
Well, and when you're standing in the ring with him, like, it was neat to see a big man match, but Strowman is now, in my eyes, immediately the smaller dude. Like, when you look at those two guys and them standing face to face and the way that he was worked in that match, yes, he picked up the win, but he was dominated. Strowman's big selling feature was there was no one else like him. Now Omos is the bigger version of him. So that one ticket that Strowman had, now the get these hands thing is cool and his, you know, aggression is neat, but like the whole big man status, he doesn't have it anymore. Like it's out the window. Omos has got that title, right? So he's not got that anymore. So you'd think that you would kind of check yourself and go, yeah, you know what? Like, maybe I should exclude, like, read the tweet first before you hit publish.
I mean, it was very funny. I don't know if you saw in the replies when he he sort of mentioned, I feel like he favorably compared that match to Andre and Hogan at WrestleMania 3. Bold, very bold comparison to make, considering that that match sold, 90,000 tickets, and nobody bought a ticket to see Omos and Braun Strowman. Sorry, they just didn't. bold of him to make that claim.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy, but I think they just got to get it. I think it's fine. They got to get a handle on it, though. WWE's going to be like, dude, just shut up. You want to keep your job here. You want to keep fans on your side. Just don't do this anymore. Seriously, learn your mistakes. And he just doesn't seem to. So we'll see how it goes. Bianca Belair and Bayley, I thought that was a creative finish. I like the ladder under the turnbuckle. She couldn't get out of it. I suppose she could have squeezed out of it, but still, I thought it was pretty creative. I'd never seen that before. The big match for me, though, Logan Paul, Roman Reigns. I thought that was great. I thought Logan Paul was really good. He's now wrestled three times. He's looked good and better in each of his successive matches. Any doubt that you had that Logan Paul should be in that match? Yes, when you look at it on paper, should he have gotten a title shot? Absolutely not. But did he deserve to be in that spot? Did he deserve to main event? Could he hang with a guy like Roman Reigns? 100%. Right? He really pulled that off. And it's just unfortunate he got hurt. I don't know how long he's out, but he's already teasing that he wants a match at WrestleMania. So it must not be that bad. That it's going to be a while, but I don't think he was coming back on TV anytime soon. Did you like that match? Were you a fan of Logan Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think objectively, it was a good, well worked match. I am very conflicted about this whole thing because obviously Logan Paul is very naturally gifted as a wrestler, as we've seen. He's only had three matches and he's been able to pull it off. He has been fortunate enough to be in the ring with people who know what they're doing and stuff. So I'm sure that was part of it. I'm not sure he'd be able to have a match of that caliber with someone some rookie down in NXT, Von Wagner, for example. Could Logan Paul have a match like that with Von Wagner? Almost definitely not. But still, a lot of credit needs to go to him. He is picking it up very, very fast. I'm a bit conflicted because I feel like it just kind of, I don't want to say exposes the business, but if a YouTuber can come in and just have a very well-received main event in a matter of months, I don't know. I feel like it makes the rest of the roster look like chumps. It makes wrestlers everywhere look like chumps in a way, because part of the charm and part of the narrative that all wrestlers sort of perpetuate and talk about is the grind and how hard they work and how much practice and how much training and honing it takes to get to where they are. So when someone like Logan Paul comes along, obviously he has some athletic training. He's not just walked in fresh out of high school and is having a main event. But yeah, I just kind of feel like it for me, it causes a lot of conflicting feelings for sure, because I like to live in a little fantasy land where I think that wrestlers, to get to that level, it takes a lot of graft.
Okay, so let me ask you that. You might have said this, but is it the fact that he's in the match or the fact that he's hanging in the match and it looks like there's times that he might win? What's both. The biggest?
Absolutely both.
Okay, so yeah, if that's true, let me argue counter to this a little bit. This has happened for ages in the world of professional wrestling. You can date all the way back, even Andy Kaufman. If there's a celebrity that never deserved to be in the ring with anyone, it was Andy Kaufman, but he ran matches over and over and over with Jerry Lawler and ran that territory for months, right? That's a guy who the last person should be in the ring with anybody of Jerry Lawler's stature at that time in the business would have been an Andy Kaufman. But they do it because they know that it draws in seats, it draws in fans, it brings in tickets, it sells out arenas. That's what Logan Paul is, right? The only difference is Logan Paul has a boxing background, fighting this or that, all this other stuff, right? I'm with you, though. The idea that a wrestler who can wrestle two matches can hang and almost beat the champion of your brand, it's a little far-reaching. I think it should have been a little bit more, Logan Paul's taking his lumps here because Roman Reigns is just classing him in the ring. But I have no issue with these wrestling companies putting these people in these high profile spots, because you gotta both understand the business of professional wrestling and the art of drawing in fans to watch mm-hmm. these people. And Logan Paul, mm-hmm. we like him or not like him, he is a significant draw. You know, it'd be like having mm-hmm. Mr. Beast, the guy who has 100 million YouTube subscribers, come and be a part of wrestling. WWE would 100% love it, right? Yeah. We would all probably like, what the hell? Why is he in there?
Right.
But you have to, mm-hmm. WWE would love it because he would bring his 100 million YouTube subscribers with him. And so you're just like, hell yeah, right? So I get it. Like and that's part of the draw for me in wrestling, actually, is to see this kind of crossover and go, oh man, let's hope this guy gets his ass kicked, or what are they doing here? So yeah, I'm with you with the whole, like, should he be hanging with Roman Reigns? But I'm also kind of like, I don't mind seeing these people in the ring.
And I totally get it. And I get why. Yeah, I get it. I get why they do it. And I know there's a precedent there. I just feel, I don't know. I don't hate it. It just brings up some sort of conflicting feelings in my brain, you know.
Is it easier to digest because he's good at it? Like, because Logan Paul is good at it. Like, amazing, actually, considering how little experience he has with it. He's able to pull off stuff that some of the active roster can't do. Right.
Right.
And so and I think it a little easier to settle?
Yeah, and I think in my head canon, I can just kind of be like, well, you know, I don't even know if this is true, but in my head canon, I like to think that he's been a wrestling fan for his whole life, and he's been secretly training to be a wrestler his whole life, like that kind of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. If you can picture it like a movie where he's teaching himself his own ninja skills and he grows up to be, you beat the master or whatever. Yeah, I get you. All right, let's switch gears a little bit to Monday Night Raw. We'll talk quickly about some of the big takeaways here. We talked about the OC and Judgment Day and Rhea Ripley's big involvement there, which was very clearly setting up. There was going to be another female joining the OC, or at least working with them to solve their Rhea Ripley problem, as it was phrased on television. And it's Mia Yim. I'm shocked by this, to be honest with you. I don't mind the decision. I like Mia Yim. I think in the right situation, she could be a pretty tough badass that could be fun to watch on television. But I don't know. I can't wrap my head around the connection, like the link between these two. I'm having a hard time drawing the line between there. And I'm a little shocked that, you know, yes, the Keith Lee's in AEW, Mia Yim, WWE, it's not unheard of, you know, but a little surprised by that. Were you shocked? Nobody saw that coming, I don't think.
Yeah, I think there was rumblings that she was on her way back to WWE. Definitely kind of weird to insert her into storyline. You're right. There's no, I'm not aware of any prior, on-screen connection between the OC and Mia Yim. You know, I'm willing to let it play out, let it see how it goes, see if they have chemistry as a four-person stable, you know. And it's also interesting because, you know, we had Michael Cole referencing Bullet Club on air. The OC is an offshoot of Bullet Club. Gallows and Anderson were members of Bullet Club. Ostensibly, I believe they still technically are still members of Bullet Club. So I don't think it's going to be too long until there's some, I don't know. I feel like something might be in the works there with WWE and New Japan. So does this mean Mia Yim is a member of Bullet Club? You know?
Yeah, it's interesting.
But yeah, as far as, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Mia Yim Rhea Ripley showdown. That should be entertaining. I guess it's from her perspective, it's a good way to bring her back, right? Because she's back and she's going straight into a major storyline. I guess that's good for her. And hopefully she's gifted and I've enjoyed her work in the past. So yeah, I'm hopefully she gets a decent run.
I like the little tease at the end of their interview where she's taking them out for drinks And she's like, oh, no, it's on me. And the boys are like, we're right on. And they just, I was like, you might not want to do that. Their tolerance level is pretty high. If that is something that they tease, it could be kind of funny, actually. Like if AJ Styles is always trying to be the responsible one and Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are always trying to take advantage of her generosity, and like that could be kind of fun, kind of like an APA vibe. Right. I think that would be kind of interesting to see if they do that.
And I like the idea that she can hang with them as well. You know, that she, I like that.
Yeah, for sure. 24/7 title is no more. Nikki Cross wins it off Dana Brooke. I was one shocked that Dana Brooke was even defending this thing because I can't remember the last time she did that. And Nikki Cross wins it, which is not a huge surprise, but then tries to throw it in the trash. I say tries because she missed.
Right.
But they officially got rid of this belt. They put an expiry date on WWE.com and the belt is no longer. So 24/7 title, are you glad it's gone? Do you care it's gone? Are you being like, oh man, what about R-Truth? What do you think about that decision?
Yeah, I think it was probably time to retire it. I think it was fun while it lasted. Actually, maybe not even fun while it lasted. I think it generated some fun moments, but I don't know that overall that it, I would consider it a success or even worthwhile. I think a lot of those fun moments could have been achieved with, you know, something else, you know, some other MacGuffin. Maybe they could have, what they should have done was just you know, reactivate the hardcore title.
Yeah.
And that'd be the 24/7 thing. But yeah, you know, I'm not sad to see it go. Can't say I'm upset to see it go for sure.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. R-Truth and Drake Maverick pretty much saved that thing or at least made it.
Yeah, that was amazing. That whole thing was brilliant with the hotel room and the wedding and everything. Yeah. that was very enjoyable television.
Yeah, but the beauty is R-Truth can do that with anything, so it's it doesn't require the 24/7 title to make him entertaining. I guess the other big takeaway from the show, it looks like Seth Rollins is going to be a babyface here. He wants open US Open challenge, and we think Finn Balor is going to accept it. He cut off by AJ Styles, and then we get the whole Mia Yim thing later on. It is Mustafa Ali who's going to accept it. Then Bobby Lashley kicks his butt and takes the challenge. But there's not really a match here other than he destroys him before the belt. Austin Theory comes down. This is the biggest moment from Raw, which I'm just shocked by. Austin Theory comes down, claims or cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase for the United States Championship.
Yeah.
And then loses it.
Right.
Like, what are they? I don't know. What does this mean? Like, is WWE just kind of going, yeah, Austin Theory's not our guy. We know he was a Vince guy, but he's not really our guy, which I disagree with because I think Austin Theory's got potential to be a huge star. Were they trying to be like, oh, shock and awe by having him cash it on the United States Championship? Do they have bigger things planned for him that they would take the briefcase away from him? Because he could have really got a lot of mileage out of that, and he was losing a lot. So I'm like, well, at least he's got the briefcase. Now he doesn't even have that. So what's the story behind that decision?
Yeah, for all our talk of how, you know, how things are changing under the Triple H regime, you know, largely for the better, this was some you know, dregs era Nitro stuff. This was really, really bizarre. First of all, cashing in on a mid-card title, like, what are you doing? Especially when there was an open challenge, right? That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, you could have just accepted the open challenge.
Right, yeah. Absolutely mind-boggling. I don't know where, you know, look, again, Maybe there's going to be more. Maybe we're going to find out a bit more, and they'll somehow retcon some of this, or it was the plan all along. But yeah, not a big fan. Not a huge fan of the way that all went down. I think there was definitely a more sensical option.
I'll tell you though, I don't understand why they did it. I'm not sure though. I haven't settled my brain around whether I'd be more upset if he'd won it or the fact that he lost it. Because at least there's a storyline coming out of losing, like to cash in on a United States Championship, which is a really stupid idea, or at least in theory and based on history of what people have won with that briefcase in their hand. That seems silly. And then to lose it is like, okay, not only did you lose, which is rare, but you lost it on a mid-card title. So what are you now? And maybe this is something Austin Theory can run with and WWE can push. And go, okay, now he's in for some serious depressing times here. Like, he made a bad decision and he wasn't successful at it. I'm wondering if there's a longer, better future with this having failed than if he'd won it. Because if you win a US mid championship with your case, like, where does that go?
Right.
I don't know. It just was a strange, bizarre, like you said, bizarre is a good word. Just was an odd decision. I just not really sure. But Seth Rollins seems to be coming out of this like a babyface, which I think it was inevitable at some point. He's just too popular. Fans like him too much. They're singing his song. They're into his character and his gimmick. I think you had to probably flip him at some point.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple minutes left to close the show. Let's talk very quickly about AEW. The big takeaway this week from Dynamite is that Saraya Paige from WWE has been medically cleared. She's good to go. And she talked to Renee Paquette on her show afterwards and said it took 5 years for her neck to be healed, but she's good to go. She immediately called Sasha Banks and said, hey, I'm good. Whatever you're feeling, or if ever there's guilt, whatever, you can get rid of it now. I'm good to go. So she's going to wrestle at Full Gear against Britt Baker, which I think will be an interesting match. I think Paige or Saraya still got it. She looks like she's still got it, but it's been a little while. We had talked about Saraya and whether or not she'd be effective in AEW if she's not wrestling. Well, she's wrestling. So how big of a thing is this for AEW now?
I think it's a big deal. And I think it was inevitable. I think we all knew she was going to get back in the ring at some point, right? Nobody thought with the people that have returned from similar injuries and her being much, much younger than all of those people when she received this injury. I think we all knew that she was going to get back in the ring at some point. It's exciting for sure, because I always thought, you know, this isn't a hot take or anything, but I always thought she was an absolutely incredible wrestler. Like on her, like at her best, she was better than basically anybody. I think she could even, obviously, I think what happened was she came up before the Four Horsewomen and all that, you know, and then the Women's Revolution happened and she was always kind of on the periphery of that. And they tried to insert her into that sometimes. I think actually like on her day and at her peak, she could hang with all four of those women. I'm looking forward to seeing if she's still got it. I imagine she's going to have a little bit of ring rust and that her style will be a little bit safer. But I expect that I expect a decent match from these two for sure. And, it's very exciting. It's a big deal for British wrestling as well, obviously. Very looking forward to it.
Yeah, it may be arguably the most high profile women's match AEW's ever had. And so that's a big draw for them and a huge win in that respect. I think it'll be good. I like Britt Baker a lot. I think she's been a little overshadowed lately. She's kind of gone under the radar and stuff, and she needs this. And I think this is good for her. And I think this is the perfect opponent for Saraya to have in the ring with her. I think it'll be good. And it's good for AEW, which they need a few wins between the MJF and Moxley match, which I think will be good. And Saraya versus Britt Baker, I think that'll be good too. So they need some strong momentum. They've had a rough couple months in AEW, so they need something positive to work in their favor, and I think this could be part of that. All right, Norman, thank you very much. This was fun just chatting it up, talking about all things wrestling. For everybody else, this has been another edition of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. We will talk to you soon. We'll talk to you in the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.